Welcome to Women's Words, a program bringing you the written work of the women of Minnesota.
My name is Jocelyn Pelagia. I live in Duluth, and this is my essay, Tending Mary Jane. Looks like they had a good time last night, I thought to myself, pushing the pipe, bag of buds, and lighter behind a lamp in an effort to conceal them from the children's view. The last thing I needed in my job as a nanny was the task of explaining to my charges, when Mommy has a PhD and Daddy is an executive in a big building downtown, life can get very stressful. Sometimes, at the end of a long day, they just need to tuck you guys in and then kick back with some reefer. Repeat after me. Reefer. As much as I didn't care one way or another how the adults who wrote me a check for $200 each week, $155 after taxes, spent their evenings, I also didn't feel comfortable picking up their paraphernalia and stuffing it more completely out of sight. If I did that, then I'd have to explain, in code at the end of the day, "Hi, welcome home from work. Carl took a short afternoon nap, so he'll probably go down early." And Lila sang out loud during her entire hour of quiet time. It was adorable. She made up some hilarious lyrics to "I've Been Working on the Railroad." Oh, and by the way, I ukte or ye ipe pay and Aggie Bay of ought pay and put it in the oshing way a sheen may. Instead, I merely tucked the items out of view and then fired up the television so the kids and I could enjoy our allowed half hour of screen time that day in the form of our favorite pre-8 a.m. program, Maya the Bee. A half hour later, we turned off the TV and headed upstairs to blow bubbles, make towers of blocks, play an interminable game of chutes and ladders, read 4 books, and walk up and down the block. That got us to 8:11 a.m. Truly, hours with small kids can move at a glacial pace, making the brain space out and drift aimlessly. The highlight of the whole thing is snack time. It's like being stoned without having to inhale, really. At the end of that day, 10 hours after I shoved the weed behind the lamp in the basement, I headed home, eager to cook up my drug of choice, ramen noodles, and collapse in front of the television with my roommates, rule-free, for however long we wanted. It was the perfect way to decompress from a challenging $5-per-hour job, one that had me smearing cream on rash-ridden cheeks and dusting end tables with Ziploc bags of ganja. The next morning, when I let myself into the house where I worked, the mother caught me for a quick minute in the kitchen. Sheepishly, she alternately rushed and stuttered. "So yesterday, we left some things you found in the basement, which was a whoopsie. And well, if that's a problem, just say so. We don't want any issues. So sorry about that. Are we okay?" My answer came easily. "We're totally okay. As far as I'm concerned, your kids are well loved. Your lives are awesome. You guys are great. Nothing beyond that is my business. No problem." Relief spread across her face, but she remained silent for a beat, and then, "Oh, good. I'm so glad. Actually, as long as we're on the subject, we've been having trouble lately finding a supply. Our former source dried up." Taking a deep breath, the PhD mother of two who wrote me a check for $200 every week braved the true question. "So, I don't suppose you know anyone who would be able to help us out with that? We were thinking at your age that you might have a connection who could keep us supplied." Tamping down a reaction of, "Is this 1960? Is Alan Funt about to jump out of the bathroom and holler at me about candid camera?" I managed to murmur that I would ask around and see if anyone had a source. Satisfied that a happy high might be in her near future, she drove off to her job as a psychologist working with troubled teens. Watching her car pull away, I warmed up Eggo waffles for the kids and jokingly pretended to pour syrup in their hair. But my brain spent the next hour marveling at a world where the person who cares for the kids is drafted as liaison to the person who peddles the pot. If nothing else, I needed to update my resume.
To listen to this episode again or subscribe to the podcast, and for more information about this author and her work, go to kumd.org and click on Arts. Women's Words is produced at KUMD by Chris Harwood. The assistant producer is Haley Westfall. Music by Sharon Isbin. Funding for this program is provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Women authors of Minnesota who would like to read their work on Women's Words are welcome to submit their writing via email to kumd@kumd.org.